We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on into the boardroom. How was that?
That was great. That was great. I mean, okay. That was really good. Yeah, welcome everyone.
I'm gonna give it one more, but leave the first one in so that people can hear that.
Sure.
Because I like random, chaotic opening. Welcome on into the boardroom, ladies and gentlemen. This is Robert, joined by Maddie, John. Where's Sam?
He's here.
Oh, I just can't see him.
Yeah,
can you guys see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Sam, it's great to see you.
Hold on. I'm doing this on my phone because our Wi-Fi is jacked. Should I go out to the hot tub, by the way? I thought about it.
Yeah,
no. Give him a splash bomb.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
Hold on. I haven't done this on my phone, so I'm trying to change the view. Let's do this. This is like you guys explained to the 50-year-old how to change to the multi-view on your
I think
phone.
If you just swipe right, it should be able to do it.
You know, swipe right. Yes, that did it. That did it. Yeah. Swipe right means something
just
else.
Just matched with all of us, Robert. We're destined to do a podcast together now. Well,
chaotic enough for the entry?
I would say that was super chaotic. Yeah. So as you can't tell, everyone, welcome, okay. Robert. Robert's joining us here. We got Robert hot off the press here. We are 11 minutes after the full bracket has been released. You all obviously know by now, Illinois has secured that 9 seed playing Arkansas. Sometime to be determined on Thursday here. So so many thoughts, so many emotions, so many feelings. I was able to watch alongside Johnny. Robert, let's just get, before you even predict wins, losses, points, rebounds, all that stuff, like, we're here, we're in March, we know who we're playing, like, let's just, I feel like you just have initial thoughts.
I do have initial thoughts. I'm going to pull up my text to Carmen. Hold on, because I want to brag about myself. Carmen, on a group text, made everyone go on the record as to what Carmen had talked himself into a 10, possibly an 11 today. Because, you know, once that momentum starts moving in that direction, his heart can't stop it. So his final guess, I'm going to just air him out on your podcast. He said 11 seed in the West is what he was guessing. And said Penn State will get a higher seed than Illinois. My guess was a 9 seed paired with Auburn and then Kansas. So I missed Auburn, Arkansas was my miss, but this kind of aligned exactly like I thought it would be. I felt like for whatever reason we had lost on Thursday and locked ourselves into the 8-9 game. I kind of wanted to fall to 10 because I just like that side of the bracket more, and we never get to play down there. This is exactly matched my expectations, which is pretty rare for a bracket reveal. As I wrote about today, there were times that we were 2 seeds off from what I expected. So 9 staring at Kansas is about what I thought.
So I feel like we have to go now to the immediate rebuttal. And I know now after like 3 years of doing this that I can't watch a bracket release show with Johnny without knowing that happens, you know, there is going to be a response. There's going to be maybe last year's a whole other story, but let's go to possibly a little bit of devil's advocate here, Johnny, about Robert's thoughts of, hey, actually, we're seated right where we need to be against who we need to be against a fair opponent.
I would say I think we're fairly slotted in as a 9. I'm very happy with the Kansas matchup. I think they're potentially overranked as a 1 seed. Am I thrilled about Arkansas as the 8 seed? No. I would rather be playing maybe a different team, but hey, that's what happens. I would say like my level of frustration is not to the same that it was the past 2 years, because I felt like we deserved a lot more respect when you're the number three overall seed and you get slotted with top 10 KenPom team, or when you're a top four seed and you get slotted in with the top five overall KenPom seed. This year, like, okay, you're going to be playing someone somewhat difficult in the 8-9 game. And this year in particular, it feels like the difference between a team that's like, I don't know, a five seed and an 11 seed, like it's a pretty thin margin. So like that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a grinded out game against Arkansas. But that is what it is. Like, yes, you can nitpick and you can say like the ACC was overvalued. I mean, we were watching it and we were nervous when we saw the 7 seed Texas A&M. Yeah. And then they said the Big Ten, and we're like, oh, we're about to blue team.
Yep. I pulled my camera up to take a photo of the screen because I'm like, I don't know, I'm like a parent at a track meet or something. Like, I want to get a shot of it. So as soon as they said a Big Ten team, I'm like, oh, time to get the shot of the screen. And I was relieved to not have that Penn State slot.
Good thing we lost.
I don't know if you've been. I know. My reaction was, Robert, I don't know how many times you've listened to our podcast in the last few weeks here. All of the episodes we've listened to, Johnny has been praying to his Lord and Savior, Ken Pomeroy, the Church of Ken Pomeroy. So I just knew when I quickly saw that we were playing Arkansas and that I saw what they're ranked, and they're, I forgot exactly what number it was, but they would be 20, a five seed.
Yeah.
So they'd be a five seed on, like, if you just based everything off of KenPom. I knew
Kansas?
Johnny.
What about Kansas? What would Kansas
be,
though?
Yeah, that's the nice part is Kansas is ninth. So it's like, there's your silver lining. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Like, there's some hoops that they do have to jump through, which are, like, you can't slot a Big Ten team against a Big Ten team. And you do have to, in some ways, reward teams for their close wins and in a way that, like, Ken doesn't really care about. Because there are certain teams where it's like they've had a good resume on paper if you look at the wins and the losses, but then like you go a step further and a team like Kansas State is 24th in KenPom and a 3 seed. Like that's just how it goes sometimes. So I understand sometimes why the committee does what it does, and it's not always perfect, but yeah, like would I rather be playing 4th seeded, I guess like Virginia, who's 34th, than 8th seeded Arkansas, probably, but it is what it is.
Didn't we get killed?
Well, they also don't have Ben Vanderplas, and they've also gotten worse. Like they were when we played them, they were 4th in KenPom, and then they really tanked during the ACC regular season.
What I'll just say related to the Arkansas thing is here, our only two options were Memphis or Arkansas, because we couldn't play Maryland or Iowa, who are the other 8 seeds. And I'd much rather, I think, play Arkansas than Memphis, who's like extremely hot right now.
Robert, go ahead.
I want to know, I don't have the bracket open in front of me.
Yeah, we got
it. Who are the other 8s? I haven't done my thing
the other 8?
Who else we could have played?
So we got Arkansas.
We got
Memphis. We got Maryland. And we got Iowa.
That was Josh's point.
Right.
Yeah.
That was my point.
That we only could have had 2 possible matchups there. But
yeah. And we probably, given how Memphis looked against Houston.
Yep.
Went probably better with Arkansas. See, here's my thing. I've written several times on how I, in years where Illinois wasn't in it and actually years where Illinois was in it, I have 2 friends who I used to take a trip and we would just pick a site and go watch first round games. Mm-hmm. And we have gotten so lucky over the years. We were in St. Louis in 2016 for the Giddy Potts in Middle Tennessee State beating 2-seed Michigan State. We got to be at that game. We were in Washington, D.C. in 2011, where we got to see both finalists, Butler and UConn, were both seeded into that regional. Mm-hmm. They were in different regions, but both were at the D.C. thing. And so I've watched a lot of college basketball with these guys. and they're both Arkansas fans. And so we had this, like, you know, all week of, like, you know, it's possible. Arkansas, Illinois is possible. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I talked to them a fair bit. I saw one of them last night, and I talked to them a fair bit about Arkansas. And their feeling toward the team is, like, if you think Illinois fans are mad about, like, the chaos of the 2023 season, Arkansas fans are just like, man, everything just started to go wrong. And the Missouri transfer tore his ACL and is out for the year. And then Nick Smith wasn't what, you know, and he wasn't healthy. And, you know, as my friend told me last night, he's like, if you remember Musselman last year, like, he's taking his shirt off. He's the conquering hero.
Yep.
He's like, this year he is like, you look at him in a press conference and he looks like he's, like, depressed and going to jump off the top of the building or something. Like, he's like, there is dysfunction within the program. And he said, you know, this is just how fans react, but the Arkansas fans are like, just get this season over with. Like, this has been a disaster. You know, when we landed Nick Smith, not our Nick Smith, obviously, their Nick Smith. You know, some people had him number one preseason this year. Right. And for them to tumble all the way to an 8 seed, this for them is just this get it over with season. So in that sense, if he can be trusted, and if that's the true Arkansas thing here, then I'm kind of excited to play a team that's just like, can we just freaking go lose in the tournament, please? Like, just get this season over.
That's why I'm nervous about them, though, because, like, they have two lottery picks on their team, and they have Debo Davis. Like, it's a frustrating team who maybe underperformed during the regular season, but there's a lot of talent.
Does that sound like someone?
Who is a preseason top 10 team. I know that sounds like us, but, like, there's a lot of talent there, and giving Musselman a week to prepare and those guys to be locked in, like, it's a challenging versus, like, some, like, you've seen it so many times, those teams who come in steaming hot off winning the conference tournament, then crumble a little bit, like you could say Memphis might.
Penn State is going to lose by 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, every time someone has made a run like that, they've expended every ounce of their energy points, and by the end, that's that. I you know. Even if it wasn't Texas A&M, I would say Penn State's going to lose by 26. It just feels like we used a bunch of energy to make a big run on our conference tournament team, then goes out flat.
Andrew Funk's going 0-for-12. You heard it here first.
100%.
The team that has shot and made more than 3-pointers than anyone ever is going to, miss them all. Sam?
I love the tournament sight lines storyline that you have every year that, like, the shooters can't shoot because the NBA arenas have different sight lines. But I didn't realize, going back to Arkansas, I didn't realize they were 2-8 away. So you'd hope, like, playing in Des Moines, they were 13-4 at home. So maybe they're 14-3 at home. So maybe there's some can't play on the road shtick that we can get ourselves to buy into.
That does sound like us too, where it's like, oh yeah, we lost all those quad one games because they were all on the road.
Yeah.
Like, what did we have, one quad one opportunity at home?
Sounds about right.
I think it was the home game against Indiana.
Was it IU at home?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be a game of, like, something's got to give, right? Two teams that come into the year with high expectations, and both teams kind of limp their way in, struggle down the stretch. So before we continue to get, like, really into Illinois and obviously, like, break down the matchup and break down kind of our region of the bracket, like, let's just talk about, I don't know, the bracket in general, Robert, or just, like, anything that storylines or things you see. Obviously, storylines with Illinois and like, Bill Self and all that, but let's just zoom out here for a moment because there are, like, 67 other teams.
We love no other. That's Robert's 67 other teams. The only thing that maybe caught his eye was that Iowa and Auburn are playing. That's maybe the only one.
John, you know my brain. Yeah. You seriously know my brain.
Exactly. And the, like, winner plays Calvin Sampson.
Yes. My thought is, I wonder, do Iowa fans care about Bruce Pearl? Like, that, I had that thought, and then every other single. Well, I also had when Missouri popped up on the screen.
Yep.
I'm like, dear God, no, because I wouldn't be able to handle it. I couldn't sit through it. I don't know if I could even watch. And so I was afraid of that. But as long as that's cleared, like my feeling toward this tournament is, you know, let's prove. I tweeted that. I retweeted something like 20 minutes ago from Eamon Brennan, basically saying, you know, here we are talking about how strong the region is with Kansas, and now watch that goofy Illinois team go and, like, you know, win that region. That's like my main talking point for this is it's tournament and stupid things happen. And as hope filled as I am so ready for us in 10 years to look back and say the IO team lost in the round of 32, the Kofi team lost in the round of 32, and then the dysfunctional Matt Meyer, Monster Energy, Dane Danger, Terrence Shannon team, you know, made the Sweet 16 or beat a one seed in Kansas or something like that. You know, like I'm relying on Oppo here. Like I'm relying on somebody going opposite field and you know, look, logically it's not going to happen, but hey, it's the tournament and stupid stuff happens all the time. See the last 2 years.
If we lost to, you know, to the 8-9 winner, why can't we beat the 8-9 winner 2 years later, right? Like that logic is supposed to be, you know, it is supposed to be.
That's right.
But I guess just in, you know, in terms of expectations, you know, we've been talking about expectations on this podcast all year as, you know, things went up and down. It looked like, all right, maybe we're not going to be the team we quite thought we were going to be. So does the expectation still remain the same as we're on the precipice of this tournament here? Is it still Sweet 16 or bust? Is it still, all right, just win a game and then you play a one seed Kansas and you probably don't play a one seed? Or is it, hey, like, it is no matter who you got to play, it's Sweet 16 or bust, and anything other than that is a disappointment this season, and I will be disappointed in the tournament? Or if you're Johnny, it's I expect to win the thing and there is just no other outcome. I should probably scooch away as I said that from Johnny. But what are the expectations then?
For me, I mean, let's Kansas was number 10 preseason. I'm sorry. Arkansas was number 10 preseason. Illinois was number 23. So if we just look at it in that, like what everybody has all summer to come up with their preseason expectation. If we just look at it like that, Arkansas is a team that should be at least in the Sweet 16 and pushing for an Elite Eight. Everybody looked at their roster and saw that. Everybody looked at the Illinois roster and saw 23, which means you're going to get to the round of 32 and maybe you've got a shot at the Sweet 16. So in my mind, that's like beat Arkansas and you've at least, this was never going to be a season like 21 or even 22, beat Arkansas and you can draw that line there. Beat Kansas and everything changes around with that. So, that's where I'm back to where we began. We probably shouldn't have been 23 preseason, but we were probably in that range of teams 25 to 35 or something like that. What's our KenPom as of today?
33? 32?
32?
How do you not know?
One sec.
Oh my God, John.
We're either 32.
I think it's 33.
They change hourly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Johnny, did Sam beat you to that?
Yeah, he did.
Johnny, this is like going to church and asking
Johnny, text 10.
Robert, the reason why, yes. I'll give you the answer as to why. I had a KenPom page open, but it was the 2011 Kansas team.
Yes.
Do you want to help us kind of understand?
The reason why is because Illinois played Kansas in the round of 32 in 2011. And that was a better Kansas team than this team. That was a really good Kansas team in Illinois. It was kind of a similarly like frustrating season to be the 9 seed, but they were a really talented group. Yeah. And then we played the 8 seed UNLV, who was Lon Kruger's team. So that was like classic storyline.
You guys will remember this. So, and again, I just want to make the point on here. The Illinois basketball series I did last June and July, where I went through the last 40 seasons, this was all Johnny's idea. Okay, so Johnny, you still continue to get credit for that because people still reach out to me about it. So for the period of 98 to 03 or whatever, 97 to 02, whatever it was, I had my friend Eric on. Eric is the one who keeps the stats, where, you know, we are all time number 11 in times weeks ranked in the AP poll. And we are number 14 in NCAA tournament wins. And we're this and we're that. And he just updates those stats every year. So I had him on because those were his years in school. Text from him last night. Ready? My comp for this team is 2010-2011, is the 2011 season. There were preseason expectations. We were number 13. We had big non-conference wins. We beat Maryland, UNC, and Gonzaga. A total WTF December. That year, the year we lost to UIC. We got blown out in the bragging rights. That holds. Mid-season drama with our prize recruit. That was Jeremy Richmond year. Up and down conference record where we finished 9-9. Then we got a 9 seed in the NCAA and matched up with Kansas in the round of 32. 1 seed Kansas. So this might be the compiest comp in the history of comps. And I live for comps. Yes. That we are re-experiencing the Jeremy Richmond 2011 season, where we won the 8-9 game over UNLV and then we're really never in it against Kansas in the next one.
That is crazy. And I mean, yeah, the Sky Clark Jeremy Richmond comparisons can be made.
Yes.
That team also lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in a close game. Like just a lot of similarities. Not quite the same like McCamey, Tisdale, Davis crew in terms of like guys who'd been there for 4 years, but
yep.
Man, the way that season went and like 9-9 mm-hmm. versus 11-9 and like you win the big non-con games. Like
I'm remembering this right now. We put Texas in Madison Square Garden
and lost in overtime, played in overtime.
This is eerie, guys. This is eerie.
Yes. Yes.
Rigged.
Yes. We beat Maryland in that was a 4-team tournament. It wasn't just like it wasn't like this, but yeah, we played Texas in November in Madison Square Garden. So, overtime. Holy crap. Okay. Yeah. Eric, wherever you are, shout out. You freaking nailed this comp. I'm mad at myself for not seeing it. And yeah, I mean, if that holds, here's what's going to happen. You guys are what? Freshman in high school for this? What would you have been in 11?
Right around, yeah.
Yeah,
right
freshman in high school.
Okay. So Sam was obviously cheering for Northwestern, but...
Ooh, the dig. Yeah. Sam, would you like to defend yourself?
I can't confirm or deny. I wasn't the man I am today.
Yes.
Northwestern was in the tournament that year, right?
Yeah, didn't they make like the like Sweet 16 or Sam?
they won the CBI that year.
So we beat UNLV. We ended up beating them by 11. It's maybe the, you know, my XX thing of like 9X, 5X, or this and that. It's maybe the XX game of the cinch of like nothing will ever top it. Because we were up, I want to say we were up 38 at one point. Like it was going to be like one of these, man, we are closing in on an 8X, 3X, like insanity thing. And then we kind of just coasted to the end and UNLV hit a bunch of shots in the last 3 minutes. And it wasn't going to close out the game, but they got it to 11 after being down 30 plus. And so that was the, I referenced that recently as like, that was the craziest. You look at the score now, like, oh, 73-62. No, at one point it was something like 61-28 or something like that. So so we now see our destiny, right? We're gonna blow out Arkansas and then we're going to lose to Kansas. That one was in Tulsa. This one's in Des Moines.
And would that make you, again, going back to this idea of expectations, like, Are we here to just sort of accept our fate of like, just get me out of the first game, give me a win. And I understand we got to play a one seed and the comp here is the compiest comp ever. And I can't expect us, you know, to beat a one seed after this. Or are you like, no, like we need to get to the second weekend. So that people can get off of Brad's shoulders and say, this guy can't get to a Sweet 16.
You ready? I've got the take of all takes. You ready? I'm gonna lean in. You ready for this?
I'm here. I'm here for it. We're here for it.
Here comes the take of all takes. This whole 3-year period, we're back in the tournament, right? We're finally back in the tournament. The first year of that, we're a 1, we lose to an 8. If we could bookend that with an 8 that beat a 1, we could really put that entire narrative completely to bed. It would be in a nice little package. 1 lost to an 8, then we lost in the 4-5 game, and then in the third year, we're an 8 and beat a 1 and got to the Sweet 16. It would take that whole Underwood narrative, that whole Illinois can't get, that whole 2005, it would neatly tie a bow on top of it, put it on the shelf, and it would be done for all of time.
It would be nice to exercise that demon.
Would your counter to that, where we lose and we don't get to the Sweet 16, would the two words that you would properly describe it be absolute failure?
I mean, it will continue to hang over Underwood's head and get louder and louder and louder.
Was this year an absolute failure then? There's someone who said that, and I'm pretty upset with that take.
Yes. If we're looking at just this year,
yeah.
What's the team like after Kofi leaves? 85% of the scoring is out the door. We turn over the whole roster. What do we have? Getting to the tournament, getting the 9 seed is acceptable. If we're looking at Brett Underwood has then been there 6 years and has still not gotten to the Sweet 16, that approaches some level of failure, yes.
Yeah, I think.
Are you trying to get me to eviscerate someone's take?
No, I was just wondering your opinion. There is an absolute failure take out there. I don't think it's an absolute failure. I like everything that you prefaced, your opinion with. Is how I would start off saying it's not an absolute failure. It's a disappointment, but we were never ranked in the top 16. So to expect to be in the top 16 during the NCAA tournament isn't like something where it's either a yes or no failure. Like we were never supposed to be that team.
Yes. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't think it's an absolute failure, but I do get scared because I always make fun of Iowa and Fran McCaffrey for not having made a Sweet 16, and I don't want it to become like like a narrative that sits on your shoulders.
And to Maddie, your question to Robert, I think this might be an easy way for me to answer it, and I know we sometimes think similarly. The way that this season has gone, when you're preseason 23, the outcome of the tournament does matter, given we haven't like done enough in the regular season. But I would say if we were to go to the Sweet 16, that exceeds my expectation on this season. If we lose in the round of 32, that meets my expectation on this season. And if we lose in the first round, that season is below expectations. When you were number 23, in the first round, you went 11-9 in the Big Ten.
But again, Johnny, this is the internet, and that's just way too rational of a take. You know, we need to live in a space where things are either absolute failure or absolute success.
Yeah.
And we can't just live in a space where, yeah, Brad has maybe struggled a little bit in the tournament, but he has more Big Ten wins than any other team in the last 3 years. And it has to be chaos, and it has to tear people apart, and I will never get off this high horse of the internet just being the most. I mean, I think I'm not alone in people thinking that Twitter isn't real life, but I think that's a nice way to put it. Of if you're right at it, you're right below it, or you beat it, and it's like right in front of you.
Do you guys see what I have on the screen? This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Okay, this little bottle of hand sanitizer. I was just trying to find something on my desk to give away. I'm going to let you guys talk amongst yourselves. There is another comp for this team that's nearly exact. The first person to name it, I'm going to mail you this little bottle of hand sanitizer as your prize. It's from Casey's.
The general store?
I bought this like at the beginning of the pandemic. Yes, Casey's general store. I bought this at the Tolono Casey's at like the beginning of the pandemic when you had to like, you know, when somebody came into your house, you had to have sanitizer sitting somewhere or else you were like a bad person. So this was the thing that just sat out so people could possibly use it. I will send this to you if you can come up with the comp. You guys all discuss it. Talk out loud.
Is it a basketball team or is it a different Illinois? Like,
there's a Illini basketball team that is a comp to this one.
Oh, man. This is tough.
I'm going to guess. I don't think this is it, but 13-14, Illinois.
Or, he means 12-13.
Mm-hmm. Or 12-13. Thank
oh,
you,
are
John.
You talking about mm-hmm. loss in the second
round? It is not 12-13. Mm-hmm. It is not 12-13. The season pace played out very similar. Okay, I don't even know if you guys were alive, okay? So this is going – this is like for me, like, hey, talk
so
about
we're going
this.
With-
1942,
1943, 95, 96. I'm just doing. You don't know if we're alive, so I'm just guessing that you're guessing when we were born. So
okay, yes,
94, 95.
It is not 94, 95. When were you guys born? Like 96 ish?
Yeah, 95, 96.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it was before you were born. Sam, you get the next guess.
Sam's thinking about the Northwestern. He was thinking about the Northwestern teams of 94, 95. He's like, back when we
– Oh, that Evan Eschmeyer team. God, yeah. They were
– And so, Fitzgerald over the middle and linebacker still. Sam, you're on mute, though. We want to know what your guess was. Sam, you're still on mute. Sam, is Sam talking to his parents or is he talking to us right now? That's the question.
Sorry, I'm talking to my assistant to see if they have any info.
That's such a nice way to call Skyler.
So if it was before we were born, that would be tough. That would be really tough.
I'm gonna clip that and send it to her.
Sam, do you have a guess?
Johnny's deep in research right now.
My guess is 93-94.
Johnny wins a bottle.
Oh, thank God, we ran out of soap in the apartment.
So jealous. 93-94 open. You got the Wikipedia open. What do you got open? You got the Ken.
Yeah, I have the Wikipedia open. Ken Palm doesn't go back until 02.
But Johnny, what was the final game of that 93-94 season? What happened
in the regular season? We lose at Purdue in a close game. Number six Purdue.
The title.
Yes,
number six Purdue, where they clinched the title,
and we went 10-8, and they win the title, which very
10-8 in the Big Ten. Interesting.
We beat Texas. We lose to Missouri.
Ooh, the times are in. The times are in. The times are in. I hate to interrupt. I just want to see what time we're playing.
So important.
We're playing 4:30. 4:30 Eastern. 3:30 Central. 3:30 Central.
Time to block the meeting.
Sorry. I just had to throw that out there in case people need to block meetings real quick. Myself included. Let's do this live right now. I'm seeing everyone pulling up their computers here to block out meeting time. So 3:30 Central, everyone.
Does
Anderson,
does
Jackson,
Southwest
and LaForce
have
on the
do
call?
Do we have the TV? Does Southwest have TBS?
Oh.
I just need to know what.
Classic. Josh, would you like to tell people for the ninth year in a row he'll be on a plane every year without fail?
Just like Sam for bragging rights every year.
Every year. Every year without fail.
Wait, what TV? Is it TBS?
It's TBS. I can't believe Johnny and I just happen to both get meetings at
3:30. Random to be busy from 5:30, just in case anything happens before.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have to move some stuff around. Possibly, we'll have to get a little creative, folks.
I kind of miss. This is making me wistful. I kind of miss those days where it's like
they have TBS.
Think about it.
Well, it's TNT.
Oh,
or is it
God, that
yeah,
announcement
it's TBS.
Of Southwest of, sorry, the Wi-Fi is the word. We're going to try and reset the router, but not sure if we're going to have Wi-Fi, folks.
To continue how far back I've been on an airplane during March Madness for Illini games, the national championship game, the pilot was telling us scores every minute in 2000.
Was he flying or was he just... Was he not?
He was getting a feed from somewhere. Traffic control.
Was he not watching the skies? He was watching the game. Okay, cool. So the times are out. Yeah, we are the last game in this. I don't know what this means in the block.
Slate,
we're the last game in that afternoon slate. So is that a fun time to play? It's like your Thursday. So there's already been like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 8, 9 games. So you're kind of like warmed up watching
the
games.
That's the happy hour game, man. That's the everybody leaves work at 4 and it's the final game on before, you know, there's like a 15 minute break and then the first evening game comes
on.
So
right, because there's
that's
a break.
For national eyes, that's a pretty good game. That's a pretty good spot.
That's a great spot. It is
but
a great spot.
I personally hate Thursday because if we lose, then I won't want to touch a television on Friday or watch anytime. You know, I enjoy having a Friday game so that she can be like, Thursday, yay, fun, NCAA tournament, and then get angry on Friday. So,
but
personally, I dislike it.
Yeah, but I'm excited for Saturday. I'm excited for that Sunday. That's going to be fun as we're booking flights to Vegas.
Oh, my God. You think he's joking. He's not kidding. So that little detail has been ironed out here. So yes, that comp of one of the early 90s teams. Robert, if you get that that sanitizer here as soon as possible. Are we out of soap?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, kind of next day shipping. Yeah.
I know the address now, so I've walked in that door there right behind you. I broke that chair you're sitting on there.
That's okay.
Maddie.
Yeah, it's all right. Worth it.
Oh, God, by the way, was honestly my best podcast moment of 2022 by far, of the whole, like, this moment feels different. Like, I get excited about myself saying that, and it was me doing it. But, like, that was such a well-timed podcast, because it was just before we were, like, having these moments of, like, I think this is different. Is this different? Are we going to beat Wisconsin? This seems different. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite moment of the season by far.
It was awesome.
It involves myself.
It was awesome. And Robert,
sorry.
I steered us elsewhere with the tip times. But one thing, Robert, that you mentioned that I think is really important to talk about, especially for us who our big Illinois fandom has really spanned less than a decade for some of us, is the fact that we've now made it 3 years in a row. Like, I do think we need to zoom out and acknowledge the significance of making it three years in a row. I know that used to not be
four years in a row.
4 years in a row. I know. Yeah. I guess if you want to count the COVID year. I know that used to not be a big deal as that statistic that you like to, you know, pull up from, you know, 20 years of those top seeds. But I don't have like a question. It's more of just a thought of like, hey, this feels like significant given what we saw for six years that now it's many years in a row, and it's a program. It's a program.
That's a top 10 Robert phrase, which is 21 out of 25.
Yes. Yes. 21 out of 25 from what years, Johnny?
07 was the last one. So 83. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. 21 out of 25. And two we missed because of Bruce Pearl. So the only ones we missed because we were bad were 96 and 99. Like 91, we were banned from the tournament, and 92, we just sucked because we only had seven players. Anyway, I gotta be careful because I'll head off in a direction there. But yes, so like, what would be our last 3 year run? 05, 06, 07, I guess. First time we've gone back to back to back since 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it would have to be. Because then it was 9, 11, 13, 20, 21, 22. Yeah, it is a big deal. Everybody's like, oh, Purdue, Matt Painter. I mean, what were they in 2020? Like 15 and 16 or something like that? Like, everybody has these moments of like, I got to rebuild and it didn't work. And you know, everybody's all excited. Miami's a 5 seed. Well, like the last 2 years, Miami was something like 11 and 19 and then 15 and 15 or something like that. So it's hard to do it. Look at Florida State this year. They've been good. Everybody thinks Larry Hamilton's great. Then suddenly they're off.
Yeah.
So it's hard to stay consistent.
And I think Illinois, Purdue, Michigan State are the only teams to have made the tournament in those 3 years. And I think if you include the last 4 years, if you count Illinois, then it would just be us and Michigan State, because Purdue wasn't going to make it that year. So like, you think about the context.
And Michigan
of the Big
State
10.
Is only there because they got a play-in spot.
Yes, exactly.
But they took advantage.
Barely split in, yes.
And lost in the play-in game. So like, yeah, if you think about Michigan didn't make it, Wisconsin didn't make it, Rutgers didn't make it. Like,
Rutgers got a little hosed. I mean, they screwed the pooch, you know, against, you know, they couldn't beat the worst team in the Big Ten. But there were a lot of folks saying that they should have got in over Nevada. But
either way, like, we weren't even on the bubble like that. So the point is that, like, this is a program, and Rutgers also, like, was never a 1 seed or even a top 4 seed. So you look at what we've accomplished the last 4 years to keeping the ship steady enough to just make the tournament or be a top nine seed is something that shouldn't be understated.
No.
And you look at UNC.
And really, if you want to stretch that out even further and just look at Big Ten record, okay? Like, since I have the page open here, let's just go 06 to 19 Big Ten wins. I'll just read them down the list, okay? 06, 07. So the 2007 season. Big Ten wins. 9-5, 11-10, 9-6, 8-7, 9-5, 8-4-7. Now let's fast forward to the 2020s. 13, 16, 15, 11.
Fire Brad. Fire Brad. Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone understands how hard it is to go from one to the other. Like, you know, you start digging that hole and digging that hole, and it's 8-7, 9-5, 8-4-7, and you just think you're just never going to climb the mountain again. So 13-16, 15-11 is just, it's just fantastic to me.
I want to pause us before we get like so big picture here about Brad. Last time we did this, when you were on the podcast, we did lose three games in a row. And when we were talking about how often we got blown out, and then we got blown out three games in a row. So I just want to be careful.
We're going to say this. We're going to listen to this in 4 years and be like, and that was the last time we won 11.
I'm verbalizing this so that like the jinx actually doesn't come true. So like no one's going to come back and blame us.
We're not to blame.
All right. I appreciate you blocking that from what it could be, because I do tend to, you know, roll in that direction a little too much. Oh, he's 66 and 52 in the Big Ten now. At one point, he was what? He started out 11 and 27. That's pretty impressive.
It's a solid turnaround.
Really impressive.
Yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
I'm just talking to myself.
He's 55 and 25 in the last four seasons.
Yeah.
Fire Brad.
Fire Brad.
Yes.
I think the majority of us know that that's, you know, a ridiculous thing, and that again, that is the one small faction on Twitter that feels the need to, like, well, we're now talking about them, so I guess they're kind of getting their exactly
yep,
what
small
they
small but loud,
small but loud,
small but loud. I did want to go back to the Arkansas matchup, just so that we can look at what we have ahead of us on Thursday. I did research when we were getting some history lessons from Bob, stating. Trying to find, because I know I remember that Texas Tech, and I then found out that Baylor also played Arkansas within the last 2 years. So Terrence Shannon, in his round of 32 game in 2021, had 20 points and 3 rebounds. They didn't lose that game. And Matthew Meyer last year in the Elite Eight had 7 points and 3 rebounds. So both players that we are going to be relying on have experience against Arkansas in the tournament. Hopefully Terrence has a revenge game and we goes off for more than 20 points this time.
Hmm. Johnny, like, do you see KenPom has us with a win?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
No.
Then it's settled.
Sorry.
I was going to say, I would doubt that.
Yes. No, KenPom has a 73-72 loss.
Ooh.
Sorry. I clicked on Arkansas to see some of their stats. And then I saw the word Illinois and a W next to it. So he has it as a 1-point loss. He has it a 56-44 game. 56% Arkansas wins, 44% Illinois wins.
Yeah, it's Arkansas minus 2.5. I'm seeing is the early spread.
That feels about right. Like, but playing a game where you have a 44% chance, like, there's a lot of outcomes in which you win that game. And I think one thing Maddie and I were talking about was, all we need is just a small sample size,
yes,
of good shooting,
yes,
for the next two games. Like,
please.
That's all we need. We know we have not been a good shooting team. But what has this tournament taught us is that small sample sizes happen, and sometimes crazy stuff happens. Just, so, like, what if we actually, just for two games, shoot 40% from three?
No. I did not say 40. I said 68.
Yeah, you did.
I said 68% from three. It's the teeniest, tiniest sample size. Why not? And that's part of the reason why some of us maybe place a little bit more emphasis over a 20-game Big Ten schedule than a 6-game tournament, when you can have a ridiculous small sample size in one or two games. I know some people are nodding their heads no, but maybe.
Maddie, that was a very impressive crescendo, and keep getting your voice a little higher and then a tone higher. That was It was very consistent and felt like a plane taking off kind of thing. I just wanted to give you kudos for using your voice in that way.
Well, I use it very intentionally, you know, to sort of draw out my lack of sarcasm and that I actually believe that there is there needs to be a lot more significance placed on a 20-game conference season than a 6-game, I'll use the word crapshoot, maybe not that, you know, intense, as I know Johnny's pulling up the Loyola box score to prove my point, I presume.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you were to just talk to the average Illini fan, they'd be like, Trent Frazier, amazing player. If you were to just take his two round of 32 performances, where against Loyola he went 1-for-10, and against Houston he went 2-for-8, you're like, oh, Trent Frazier, 3-for-18, biggest choker of all time. Like, or it's just two off nights. Like, and that happens sometimes.
It's a very Tom Fornelli philosophy.
Well, doesn't he place more emphasis on the Big Ten tournament than the actual tournament?
That's where I lose.
I think his order goes regular season, Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's where you lose me a little bit, Tom. I think the Big Dance gets a little bit more.
That's the extreme.
But, I mean, that's not to say that, like, obviously the joy you would feel winning the Big Dance is obviously going to supersede winning either of, you know, the regular season or the Big Ten tournament. But, and I guess, Johnny, the devil's advocate there is to say Big Ten players, you know, show up when the lights are brightest in the postseason, and not to hate on Trent, but all right, like, we didn't show up when the lights were brightest last year or 2 years ago when Brad, you know, when all the eyes are on Brad, it's like, all right, it's on you to outcoach, you know, Porter Moser, and it's on you to find a way to beat Cameron Krutwig. Mm-hmm. You could make that devil's advocate argument.
Yeah. You know what's ironic, though, is I think of all of the players on our Illinois team to be attached to, like, oh, they can't win in the tournament, it was Kofi. Meanwhile, Kofi against Loyola had 21-9, and against Houston he had 19-8. Like,
he did his job.
He did his job. I know. Has been a big, for me, year of just defending Kofi at all costs when there are people online saying, like, Dane is actually a better fit than Kofi. But I think people have kind of learned over the course of the season. Sorry to derail our conversation about the tournament. But
No. It's all good. I just got nervous. I saw a stat that makes me extremely nervous with our free throw shooting. Arkansas's defense is ranked 327th in free throw rate defense, which means that I'm pretty sure the stat means that their opposing teams go to the free throw line more than pretty much any other school in the country. Mm-hmm. We rank 138th in that, but our free throw shooting is ranked 306th in the country. So very, very nervous right now.
What I do like, though, is that sets up nicely for a Taron Shannon game. Like, that's his bread and butter. Like you're still right. We're 306th in the country at shooting free throws, but Terrence in particular gets to the line a lot and is a good free throw shooter. So hopefully that works well for us in our game plan.
Can I just note, this is a personal thing for me. I enjoy the dynamic of the last 90 seconds so much. Josh's realism and Johnny's hope. I love it. Okay. Cause we all have our own way we approach life. We all have our own way we approach sports and the teams we care about. And I love the dynamic of it, especially in a podcast form. That was fantastic stuff. I don't know.
All right, Johnny, what do you have for this?
Yeah.
Johnny, what do you have for this?
Here we go.
Okay. So they
this should be a segment.
Me reading stats out loud, Johnny telling me how it's good. Their defense efficiency is top 20, with their steal and block it being top 30 each percentage in the country. And we don't have a point guard.
Jaden's playing.
Is he?
Yeah, he's healthy. Brad said everyone is healthy.
Here's what I like is Thursday.
He played.
He played.
He had a three at the end of the game.
He
played.
I guess my counter to that is: did you watch the second half against Purdue where we did not turn the ball over? My other counter to that is, my guy Coleman Hawkins in particular has really cleaned up the turnover percentage. And if you look at us in terms of conference play versus non-conference, we were worse at letting up steals. In conference play, we were like really middle of the pack in the Big Ten, ninth in steal percentage, seventh in non-turnover percentage, or like non-steal turnovers. So we cleaned it up better in the Big Ten season with fewer point guards than in non-con. But I'll give you that. Like, if we turn the ball over a lot, we're probably not going to win the game.
Wow. Breaking.
And you, that's, these are the X's. We should get Tyler on to actually, like, maybe we'll get Tyler on before the game to actually maybe break down some X's and O's. You don't listen to this for the X's and O's. You listen.
We're smart. We're really smart.
You listen to. Honestly, I don't know why you listen to this, but for some reason you listen to it.
Last time any of us played competitively.
Okay, how about this? How about this, Josh?
Eighth grade.
Arkansas is very good at limiting. They're 11th in the country at limiting their opponents from taking threes. They are 11th in the country in like fewest three pointers allowed. Who does that work towards the benefit of? Not 3-point percentage. It's limiting the number of threes.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that
they might want to lighten up on the perimeter defense there. That's like the let the other team score when they're up one and you need to get the ball back.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm kind of surprised that Johnny is spending this much time even talking about Arkansas and not just talking about the Kansas matchup at this point. But can we talk about – the only reason I want to talk about this is because this is an excuse for me to talk about my boy RJ. Obviously, he's my X factor this tournament. Obviously, he's putting up a double-double. Josh is, like, losing his mind right now. Obviously, he's putting up a double-double against Arkansas. And obviously, he's going to be, like, three rebounds and an assist away from a triple-double against Kansas.
Robert, if RJ has a triple double, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what will you send us? What will you send us that's better than sanitizer?
What we said was we were going to drive down to Alma and hold up a sign that says Maddie was right.
If RJ has a triple double,
correct.
And can that extend?
I'm looking for something valuable
that extends into the tournament. Just so you know, you signed the fine print. That extends into March and April.
Yep.
Don't try to deny that.
Just whenever.
Is pro career two?
April?
Pro career two.
April? Oh. Well, no. Whoa. If he has it in like second division Sweden.
Whoa. There will be no RJ slander. First of all.
That means he's going pro. Is that he's in second division Sweden.
Goodness, hold on. While Robert grabs something. Second division.
I'm looking.
Sweden. Basketball. The Superton is way below RJ's capability. Okay? Just because their first season was in 92 and they have 11 teams does not mean that RJ is not going to surpass Sweden. While Robert looks for stuff, I guess X Factor stuff for me, it's like, I think it's obvious, but it's like 3-point shooting.
Sorry, I'm still looking for something to give away if RJ.
Do you have like tickets to the one of the games or something that I could?
That's not a sign. That is a color photo of Red Grange on the field at Memorial Stadium, colorized like white Christmas, and that's a very prized possession. What I'm trying to find. This is the dumbest thing.
We'll take that.
No, that's too valuable to me, even for the 1 in 7,000 odds that I'm putting it up for.
It's probably worse than that.
I'm trying to find, I saw on my desk a few months ago, maybe I put in a box that day. It was an award I won in choir in high school. I have no idea why it was in this drawer in this box. So I was going to offer that up. I believe it was called the Arian Award for the best choir member in high school. So I was going to offer that if RJ does that, that Maddie can display that.
You don't have to look.
I mean, Maddie has been singing his tunes all season.
yeah, and crescendo. He'll crescendo his way to the triple double. Yes. Yeah, Robert, I wouldn't be concerned about looking for it if I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't think you.
Okay.
I don't think you need.
You don't think RJ is going to get those 10 assists?
I think the rebounds might be the issue. Yeah. I mean, he loves the dish.
I don't see the 10 assists because Brad's going to sit him with the last 10 minutes of the game when we're up 30, 40. Yeah,
that's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, over
good
over
point.
Under over under Lieb minutes in the tournament. Ooh. The over under is
three.
Set at I'm probably taking the under.
It's it really depends on the length of your run.
Is that a good 3 minutes or is that a screw it 3 minutes?
Is Sam in prison?
Yeah.
Sam is in. Do I sound blurry?
It sounds like you're in prison. Sam, maybe I missed the podcast where you went to jail.
I got caught up in some bad stuff.
He's been a naughty boy for rooting for Northwestern. He's been a naughty, naughty boy.
I only get 1 hour of phone time a day, so I'm using it.
A collect call from
Champaign
County. We'd like to talk Illinois basketball.
Sorry, Sam. You were saying some actual words, and I was trying to make jokes.
I was,
what were you saying?
I was saying from prison that I'm curious if that'll be a good 3 minutes for Lieb. Like, we're winning by a lot or a bad 3 minutes.
I guess it takes two Dane fouls by the 12-minute mark
that is
Lieb's
true.
In? I mean, isn't it that simple? Like, if Coleman has has a single foul at all, they're not going to let him run the rest of the half. And so they'll have to do a few lead minutes to give Coleman a breather.
Yeah, that reminds me of the video from the secret scrimmage of Brandon Lieb dunking on Kansas. So
revenge.
We will be tweeting that out
on
Friday.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And I just remember being like, oh my God, Brandon Lieb just dunked on the national champions. Like, is this real life? And
it can repeat itself.
It will repeat itself.
Okay. So
one other thing, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
In some ways, there have been comparisons of Brandon Lieb to one former Illinois basketball player, Robert.
Nick Smith?
Yes, exactly. The same name as Arkansas Nick Smith. But I think those are apples and oranges.
Like,
but yeah,
it's like spokes. It's like gears fitting together, Johnny. It all fits together.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so the prison talk, I think, tells us that we should start to wrap this up. And I guess I'll just throw out like a last question. And again, I don't know X's and O's. I don't know Jack, but we'll kind of finish the line. All right, Illinois beats Arkansas if, and we'll let Bob wrap it up. So. I'll just say Illinois beats Arkansas if I probably shouldn't have started with myself. Again, it's from my limited understanding of Arkansas, it's that we are a similar team to them. So if we don't just like shoot ourselves in the foot and we make less mistakes than Arkansas and maybe let them turn the ball over a little bit more than us or let them miss threes a little bit more than us, then hey, maybe we win the game. You said we have, what, a 44% chance? So, like, that's the difference between a couple threes maybe going down. So let's just have a small sample size, and that's how we beat Arkansas. Who else wants to go? Does no one else think we're beating them?
I'm last, right?
The silence speaks volumes. Sam, who's at this point has escaped from prison. My God. Sam has been in this...
And the warden... The warden's looking over my shoulder, and he's an Arkansas fan, but...
You're on the yard!
Sam, this is absurd.
Yeah, I'm on the yard.
Sam, this is so unprofessional. This is so unprofessional right now.
Can everyone hear me okay?
It sounds like you're going
totally
through a wind
fine.
Tunnel.
All right.
As someone who's about to leave as well, you sound totally fine.
I'm going
to
say Illinois will beat Arkansas. If Arkansas has the game, I'm scared of Illinois having. Just, like, nothing's clicking, nothing's falling, kind of just... They were supposed to step up or kind of come into themselves and just didn't.
Yeah, I would say we focus a lot on Illinois, their woes offensively. I think Illinois wins if they get stops, which is really simplifying things.
We're an 11
seed. Oh, wow. Women's bracket come out. We are an 11
seed. We're the play-in game against Mississippi State. Winner takes
three. I told you guys we were going to be in the play-in game. I told you if Penn State was going to be a 10 seed, we'd be in the play-in game.
Yes.
Wow, we've had a lot of breaking news on today's show that we probably could have seen coming with the tip times and this game. So by the time you're listening, you know all these things. Sorry, Johnny.
But yes. To my point is, like, Illinois wins this game if we get stops on the defensive end. You think about... some of the most fun games that we've played, UCLA, Texas, the second half of the Purdue game. It was always like getting stops. Sometimes when you go small ball, get stops. Like, that's what wins you those games. You lose to Penn State when you give up 79 points or 93 points, or you give up 80 to Indiana, you give up 81 to Iowa. Like, obviously it's like less simple than that, but play defense.
Yeah, and I think my nerves right now are all on the free throws. We've got to make our free throws. We're going to get fouled a lot. We have close to zero trust in our free throw shooting. As much, I don't know, like, quick poll. Do you trust our three-point shooting or free throw shooting more?
Yes.
I trust Terrence and RJ and Meyer at the free throw line, and Jaden.
And RJ at the three-point
line. That didn't answer my question. Okay, but yeah, that's where I'm stuck. I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Am I up?
Yeah, Robert, yeah. How are we beating them?
Illinois will win this game if we get six or more blocks. Because we all forget that we're number two in the country out of 360-some teams in number of blocks. Teams that haven't played us will be surprised at how hard it is to get some of these shots at the rim. Because guys like Meyer block more shots than they expect, and guys like Dane and Coleman. And so Illinois will win this game if we get six or more blocks, because those six shots are shots Arkansas is used to going down, and they get swatted.
I love that metric. Fantastic. Man, I okay, love this time of year.
As you're going out here, man, I want to do something here.
Yeah.
I want to try to hum the outro song, and I want to try to get it right just before you play. I'm just doing this for my friend Derek. But,
yeah, of course. Let me know when you want to start, like, so when I should start.
I'm going to see if I have perfect pitch.
Okay.
Because, like, I'm going to try, and it's in my head right now, but I don't know if I'm going to, it could be too high, it could be too low. I'm going to try and see if I can hit it. Okay? So I'm just going to do this, and then you can say whatever you're doing, and then
cool.
Start the music.
All right, go for it. Man, I love this time of year. Thanks for Robert for joining us. Hopefully we'll have lots of content up in a few weeks. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom, everybody. ILL.